Hello, friends, and thank you for joining us in what we're calling a community of goodness, playing the songs and telling the stories of people of this community and our world, Larry Long, recording the songs of our neighborhoods and our nation, Brett Hughes. And today, let's laugh and celebrate humor.
Down to the fishing hole, I carried along my fishing pole. Something grabbed my line, hooked my bait, tricked me out to the middle lake. It was some junk. I got sunk, baptized on the credit. Now fishing down at a muddy bank, I felt a big pull, I gave a big yank. I jerked out two old rubber boots, Ford radiator, Chevrolet coupe, handed in for national defense. So I jumped off a bridge and went down deep. I found a 100-pound catfish laying there asleep. I jumped on his back and rode him into town. I saddled him up, I turned around, folks come running. Dogs barking, kids looking. They said, "What you doing on that catfish?" I said, "I don't know what you're doing talking to somebody who's on one." So I waded out to a sandy bar, caught myself a big alligator gar, drug him in, crossed my back, tail was a dragging a mile and a half, flipping and a flapping, sold him for a quarter, went to the post office and bought a stamp. I licked it. Wrote a letter home. I wrote, "Dear Dad, no mun, no fun, your son." He wrote back to me, "Dear son, so sad, too bad, your dad."
Victor Borga, one of America's real treasures, said this: "Laughter is the shortest distance between two people. In order to bring people together, let's laugh together. Let's play together. What's wrong with being silly together?" Silly comes from the Anglo-Saxon word selig, which means blessed. I had a friend of mine, Dr. Stu Robertshaw, who was doing research on a book working with young children and read in a study that children under the age of 5 laugh or smile 350 times a day. People over the age of 35, maybe 5 times a day. Then he did research in his own family and found out his mother-in-law, 1.2. And he realized that people just don't laugh enough. So he decided to form a society called the Association for the Humor Impaired. He told it to a friend of his at the La Crosse Tribune, who wrote it up and sent it on the AP wire. "How do you join the Association of the Humor Impaired?" Well, 2 nights later at supper, the phone rings. "Hello, my name is Biddy Bob, calling from live talk show radio in Houston, Texas. Want to talk to Dr. Humor?" And he's picked up the phone. "Dr. Humor? Well, that must be me." And he starts talking. Well, he makes up a whole interview for the next 15 minutes talking about the Association for the Humor Impaired that doesn't even exist. Hangs up the phone. He and his wife have a nice laugh as they finish their supper. The phone rings again, and now it's a live talk show calling from Toronto, Canada. Well, in the next week, about 50 different talk shows call him and want to talk about the National Association for the Humor Impaired. He's getting pretty cocky. He knows what he's doing as he kind of responds to their questions. And finally, a guy says, "Well, how much does it cost to join the National Association for the Humor Impaired?" He said, "Well, $6, just making it up." "Well, what do you get for $6? Well, you get a card you can put in your wallet that says you're a member. You get a certificate that says you're a member, and you also get a 10-point quiz determining whether or not you're humor impaired. Well, people start sending them $6 checks. And then he realized very quickly how many people in this great country of ours are willing to bounce a $6 check. And he said, no, 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 no more checks. If you want to be a member of the National Association for the Humor Impaired, you just send me a funny story about something that happened to you. Well, he collected those stories and put them in a book called Dear Dr. Humor, which is a real treasure. Well, here are two of Stu Robertshaw's favorite stories. Dear Dr. Humor, last year our neighbors went on vacation and asked me to check on the house several times while they were away. They left on a Thursday and to return the following Monday. On Saturday afternoon, I noticed out our window that our black lab Boomer was chewing on something. I went out to see what was in his mouth and was horrified to see it was our neighbor's pet rabbit. Boomer had the poor white rabbit by the neck. It was filthy and very dead, and I panicked and felt sick as the neighbor's children were very attached to Fluffy. I thought I left the neighbor's back door open, and somehow Boomer got in the house and killed the rabbit. I didn't know what to do. My husband suggested that we try to locate an identical rabbit from a pet store and replace him so no one would ever know. We spent 6 hours driving all over Atlanta with Fluffy in a freezer bag looking for a rabbit with the same markings, but with no success. Finally, we decided to shampoo and blow dry Fluffy, return to his cage. It looked like he died naturally. We didn't know what else to do. When our neighbors returned home on Monday, we didn't hear from them. After another day, still no word. I couldn't stand the silence. And on the third day, I finally called. Jane, our neighbor, told me they had a wonderful time on vacation, but were very puzzled as they found Fluffy dead, lying in his cage. I told her I was very sorry to hear that Fluffy had died. She went on to say the puzzling part was that Fluffy actually died the day before they had left and had buried him in the backyard.
Catch me, I'm in the water, can't you see? Swimming on the muddy bottom. Oh, the good is why I got 'em. Ain't about to bite your hook. Oh, my body, you could. No, you won't catch me. Unless you get me on the snake. I'm a wily old catfish doing the waterfront rag. Tell me, how would you feel? If it cooked for me, if it threw you in a pan, it cut off your feet and hands. If I peeled off your skin, sliced you up with your yin, and do a pan without your guts, you'd think it was nice. No, you won't catch me, unless you get me on a snack. I'm a wild old kingfish doing a waterfront band.
Dear Dr. Humor, I want to share a very funny story that happened to me and made me understand how important humor is in our lives and how much it's God's gift that needs to be nurtured. I'm a Lutheran pastor in April 1977. I had a very serious car accident and was in the hospital recuperating for 7 months. Because I was there so long, I became nonchalant with the nurses and the procedures. You can't keep decorum up for very long with no clothes on. I was also having great difficulty finding a relatively painless spot to put one more injection of pain medication. I rang for the nurse, and when she came on the intercom, I told her I needed another pain shot. I knew exactly how long it would take for her to get there, as I had lots of practice. So I rolled over in incredible pain so slowly and placed my completely exposed derriere toward the door. I heard her open the door to my room, and I said as I pointed to my rear, "You can stick it here." There was an awful, awful silence. I slowly struggled to turn over to see a 22-year-old female parishioner who had come to see me. It was particularly awkward because she had flowers and no place to put them. I apologized and tried to chat, but she wouldn't come within 6 feet of me and left shortly afterward. Well, 30 seconds after she left, the impact of the situation hit me. I started to laugh. It hurt like you can't imagine. I laughed and laughed and laughed. Tears were streaming down my face, and I was gasping for air when the nurse finally came in. 3 times I tried to tell her what had happened, but I couldn't say more than 3 words without breaking up. She had to come back several different times before I was calm enough to tell her what had happened. By that time, I felt absolutely no pain, none. I didn't need medication for 9 more hours. It truly was a turning point in my recovery. Also, you'd be interested to know that my parishioner joined another church.
People are very funny, chasing after all the money, just working all the time, trying to feed me a lie. I ain't about to catch a worm, even if I like to squirm. Because ain't that dumb, dumb, dumb I loved about your thumb, thumb, thumb. No, you won't catch me, let you get me on a snack. I'm wily old catfish doing a waterfront ride.
How about this one? A man was driving down a rural highway, and there was a pig that was running in and out of the ditch. The pig would run up out of the field and back in the ditch, up and back and down, and the man became rather concerned because he knew that pretty soon somebody's going to come along and could possibly hit that pig. So he stops and starts wrestling with the pig, and there's no farms around, and there's no markings on the pig, and he's wrestling with the pig, and police officer, sheriff stops by and says, sir, is that your pig? He said, no. He said, what are you doing? He said, well, he was running in and out of the ditch. I thought he was going to run onto the highway and get hit and killed. But he said, I don't know who it belongs to. And the sheriff's deputy said, well, sir, I suggest you take that pig to the zoo and you do it now. So the man put the pig in the back of his car and he took off. About 3 days later, man's driving on the highway and there's a pig in the front seat wearing a baseball cap. Sheriff's deputy sees him and he pulls him over and he says, sir, I thought I told you to take that pig to the zoo. He said, I did. And he enjoyed it so much, I took him to the baseball game.
Oh, Lord have mercy. That's a good one, Tom. You know, Tom, did you ever hear about the Norwegian husband that loved his wife so much he almost told her so? Well, or the farmer who went to visit his next-door neighbor, another farmer. And what did he see but the farmer holding a pig up to an apple tree? So that farmer asked the other farmer, what the heck are you doing? The farmer said, well, it's obvious. I'm feeding my pig. To which the farmer replied, well, doesn't that take a long time? And the farmer said, well, what's time to a pig? Oh, Lord have mercy, you know. Okay, I got another one. You know, speaking of farmers, you know, there was a Texas rancher that went on vacation from Texas on up to Wisconsin. And he had, you know, he had a big Cadillac, and on the front of his hood he had longhorn steers that were kind of bending around, and he had a big 10-gallon hat. And he was all by himself, and he figured, you know, maybe he'll stop by one of these farms in Wisconsin and just have a conversation to compare his ranching with Wisconsin farming. So he pulled up to a farmhouse, and he knocked on the door, and he introduced himself, said he was from Texas, and he had a ranch in Texas, and he wanted to know more about farming and in the Midwest. And so he asked the farmer, the Midwest farmer, how many acres do you have? The farmer said, well, you know, I have some dairy and probably about 250, 300 acres. Well, that rancher, he just shook his head. He goes, boy, my ranch is so big, it takes me a day to drive from one end of it to the other. That Wisconsin dairy farmer thought for a little bit and he said, yeah, I used to have a truck like that.
Bye-bye.
Me, I'm not quite as big as cow or pig, as a horse or a dog, but I'm bigger than a frog. I love to roll in the mud with the garbage and the crud. I love to live in the water with the beer and the otter. No, you won't catch me unless you get me on a stand. I'm a wily old catfish doing the waterfront. Couple kids by the name of Liz and Sid, and if you do jump in, I'm gonna fuck with my fan. I'll give a little sting if you grab the wrong thing, and if you make me mad, I'm gonna taste your bad. No, you won't catch me unless you get me on a stand. I'm a wily old kingfish doing the water. Catfish doing a waterfront rag. I'm wily old catfish doing a waterfront rag.
All of us from our own backgrounds, we have ethnic stories that are told. The Irish tell stories constantly. How about Norwegian jokes? And down in Louisiana, my family tells stories of Thibodeau and Boudreaux. Every people have found a way in which to laugh at each other. So Mary was a good Irish Catholic woman, and on a Sunday morning, she's at church, and the priest, who was a friend of hers, was looking, and he just looked awful, awful sad. And after Mass, she said, Mary, might I have a word? She said, yes, Father. He said, would you mind telling me? You look awful sad and distressed here this morning. And she said, well, Father, what I am. And he said, well, Mary, what happened? She said, well, Seamus died last night. He did? Your lifelong partner, the love of your life. Oh, Mary, it's terrible. It's just terrible. He said, could you tell me, can you remember what were Seamus's last words? And she said, well, Father, I think he was telling me, Mary, would you please put down the gun?
You know, while I was on the road traveling around the country with another friend named Fiddlin' Pete Watercott, we would just jump into any old bar and saloon and start playing and pass the hat. One of those occasions down on the border of Kansas and Oklahoma, sitting on a bar stool was an old guy listening to our music. When we got done playing, sat down, and he looked at me and he said, son, if you ever get married, make sure you marry a sense of humor. So in that spirit, I wish you all a blessed week, a blessed day, and thank you so much for listening to Community of Goodness, and thank you for all that you do.
We all find ways in which to laugh at our own foibles makes us that much more human and that much more lovable. Till we meet again, peace and all good.
You have been listening to Community of Goodness with Larry Long and Tom Thibodeau, produced and recorded by Brett Hoos. For more information about Larry and Tom, please visit www.larrylong.org and www.tomttalks.com. We look forward to being with you next week. Thank you for listening.